two things in verse 18 and one thing in verse 19. Paul saying that, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, and the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. And God placed all things, verse 22, and God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who filled everything in every way. So we pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you're going to speak to us tonight. And we know that you are mighty God. And you not only demonstrate your power when you created the whole universe with your mighty word, and in the same way, you use the same kind of power. You raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and with that same power, you seated him as your right hand. And I pray that you help us to understand that kind of power. And I know that kind of power surpasses our knowledge. But we ask that you give us a mind that understands, eyes that can see, and ear that can hear. And more importantly, I pray that you give us the faith to believe in it. And at the same time, when we are in distress, in trouble, we can ask you to deliver us with the same kind of power too. And I also pray for those brothers and sisters who come tonight, and I pray that you're going to speak to us and encourage us, and knowing that the God we trust is a mighty God. He can deliver us out of all kind of situations. If 2,000 years ago, how you raised Jesus Christ from the dead, and nowadays, whatever kind of sickness we have, whatever kind of difficulty we are facing, and I pray that you can deliver us out of deep darkness too, and bring us into your kingdom of God, and open our eyes that we can see. And I pray that you speak to each and every one of us. I hand your servant into your hand. I pray that you fill him with your Holy Spirit and with your word, so that as he explains, and your children can understand. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. So, I appreciate that in the midst of examination, you people do still come. That's good. You have exam, Daniel? Tomorrow? Oh, wow. Who else has exam? Donald, you have exam too? Okay, I pray for you guys. Our Heavenly Father, you know that most of your children have exam, not only tomorrow, but also weeks to come. And I pray that you bless them and give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation, and a spirit of understanding too, spirit of knowledge, so that they can recall what they have learned during the class, and so that they can do well in the exam. They can honor you. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today I talk about power. And how did Paul explain that kind of power? He using the word working, power, mighty, and he used strength. It looked like he's going to use all kind of word, English word, to describe the mighty power of God. And the power of God that God used to raise Jesus Christ from the dead in verse 19, I think. And that power is like the working power of His mighty strength. You know that He's just piling word upon word to describe that kind of power. Our God is a mighty God, and He's mighty in power, and He gives us a lot of strength. And in here, strength, Paul say that in Philippians 4:13, Paul say, I can do all things through Him, through Jesus Christ, who give me strength. And when you feel that you are weak, when you feel that you cannot carry on, you cannot do it, and you can always cry out to God and ask God to strengthen you with His mighty power. The word power is the same word for dynamite. You know, dynamite is very powerful, okay? And with the same kind of power, God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. You know, when His disciple looked at Jesus Christ the Lord, when He was hung on the cross, and they were all discouraged, and Jesus Christ lost all His blood, there's life in the blood, and He lost all His blood already, and from human standpoint, it is impossible for Jesus Christ to be alive. But God is mighty. Nothing is impossible with God. All things is possible. What is impossible with man, it is possible with God. Because His word is powerful too. So, before God raised His Son Jesus Christ from the dead, around 900 years ago, and God used King David to prophesy in Psalm 110, verse 1, the Lord said to my Lord, the Heavenly Father said to His Son, sit at my right hand, and I will make your enemy your footstool. And King David sees the situation, so he prophesies. King David prophesied by faith, knowing that God going to raise Jesus Christ from the dead. And he saw that, so he prophesies it. And 900 years later, and Paul recorded that in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. And His incomparable great power for those who believe. For us who believe. Okay, we believe in God. He can exert His power in you. And that power is like the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ Jesus by raising Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand. Whatever God said in Psalm 110, verse 1, it is fulfilled in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. So God is a faithful God. Verse 19, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. And that power is like the working of His mighty strength. And Paul tried to describe that incomparable great power of God for His people, for His children who believe. And that power is like the working of His mighty strength. As first, God showed His power in His creation in Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2. And later on, God showed His power when He destroyed the kingdom of Egypt. At that time, the kingdom of Egypt is very, very strong, the earthly kingdom. And the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, opposed against the God of Israel. And God destroyed that kingdom with 10 plagues. And then split open the Red Sea and let his people cross the dry land, cross the Red Sea and walk on the dry land. And now, in our generation, 2,000 years ago, and God showed his power in his own son. When God exerted his mighty power in Christ Jesus by raising him from the dead, and after raising him from the dead, and God allowed Jesus Christ to appear to his follower for 40 days. And after that, and God using his mighty power to raise Jesus Christ, to lift him up, and to go to heaven in front of the eyes of all his followers. So that's what the Paul saying. And God seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realm. Lift him up. Do you know how much power it is for rocket, for the missile to shoot up? You need 1/3 of the power just for the takeoff. Just like the airplane. When the airplane take off, using a lot of fuel. Landing, it didn't use any fuel at all, but leap off, use 1/3 of the energy. Very, very powerful. And in the same way, God used this kind of power to raise Jesus Christ from the dead, and then using the same kind of power, seated Jesus Christ at his right hand in the heavenly realm. According to, you write it down right beside verse 20, Psalm 110, verse 1. That is the fulfillment. That's the fulfillment of what King David prophesied in Psalm 110, verse 1. And then in verse 21, Paul described when Jesus Christ sit at the right hand of God, that kind of power and authority is far above all rule and authority, far above all power and dominion, far above every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. In the commercial world, the most powerful one is the chairman of the board, and the next most powerful one is CEO, Chief Executive Officer. That is a present title. And in 2,000 years ago, the supreme power that's given to emperor, okay, or empress, okay, in Roman Empire, the Julius Caesars, you know, that is very powerful. That's the name in those days they used. Now they use king. In those days they use pharaoh, right? Now they use word like governor. All these titles, when God seated Jesus Christ at his right hand in the heavenly realm, that title that God gave it to Jesus Christ, his son, that title is far above every title. Every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And then you ask me, what's the name of that title? The book of Revelation, the Bible say, no one knows. Because by that time, when God declared that title given to Jesus Christ, and everybody says, wow, that title is really good one. I show it to you, another title that God gave it to Jesus Christ. In Revelation chapter 19, verse 16. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's above all kings. and he is above all lords. Like emperor of emperors, master of all masters, governor of all governors, pharaohs of all pharaohs. Okay? And God of all gods. When Jesus Christ come back in Revelation chapter 19 verse 11, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. Could you write it down? Right beside Revelation 19, verse 20, you write down Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21. That title is far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. Can anyone tell me what is the reason why when Jesus Christ revealed it to his disciple, Apostle John, and not letting John know what is the name that he has received from God? In verse 12, his eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. Can anyone tell me how come he has a name that no one knows but he himself? Donald, do you know why? Too powerful for us? Well, anyone want to guess? Sorry? You want to guess? Good girl. See? Do you hear her? Where is my girl? Do you know Daniel? Say it to her again. You heard it? You didn't know it, right? Because the Lord do not want to reveal his name. Once his name was revealed, or is revealed, or will be revealed, then people are going to use it. You see a lot of people that use the mighty, right? You remember Muhammad Ali? He called himself mighty. Now he's shaking. He's Alzheimer, right? He's not mighty. A lot of boxer, they call himself mighty. Right? Once they know the name, they found out the name is a good name, they use it. You know, David, do you know that the name David is a good name? Do you know that David? Why is good? Well, there's in the Bible, there's a lot of name too. You want to be called Judah? Is it real name? Why is real name? You never heard of it? The word Judah means praise God. Now you know. So it's not real name. Just because one of the 12 disciples, his name called Judah, he betrayed Jesus. So nobody named him, my son is a betrayer. You know, you won't name Judah, you know what I mean? praise God, supposed to be a faithful one, you know, then you praise God, but you don't betray Jesus, right? David is a good name. It's not because it's written in the Old Testament. Because God called David is what? The one who's after God's heart. King David knows the heart of God. So you carry that name, David, you better know the heart of God. David, you understand? Do you know the heart of God? Do you want to know the heart of God? Okay, you ask the Lord to give you wisdom then. Because I have the same name as King David. And you say to God, I know you love David. And he is the one who is after your heart. And I pray that you give me the same kind of heart that I chase after you, that I get to know you. Okay? Daniel, do you know what your name means? God's judgment. So we better be good, right? We don't want the Lord to judge us, right? Yeah. Better know him. So it's good to carry the biblical name so that you know the meaning of it, right? Okay. So Wesley, do you know why your daddy give your name Wesley? Who? His friend gave it to your daddy, and your daddy gave it to you? So why your daddy likes the name Wesley? Oh, he didn't even care. Now, come on, you go and ask him tonight. Wesley is the one in the 18th century, 19th century. Wesley is a very good preacher from England. He revived a lot of Christians in those days. And he's the one who knows the Bible. He didn't know computer game. Do you want to be like Wesley? Hey? Then you better pray, right? Say, God, around 220 years ago, how you used Wesley, and I pray that you use me now. You want to pray like that? Right? Gabriel? Do you know why your name is called Gabriel? You don't? The Gabriel is a girl name. It's from the mighty angel, Gabriel. Gabriel is a male name, right? Like Daniel, Danielle is a girl name, right? From the male name, to give it to the girl name. Mean mighty. But you ask the Lord to give you strength to be mighty too, right? But be humble when you're mighty, right? Okay? Now, according to Revelation chapter 19, verse 20, Jesus Christ has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. And later on, when he comes back the second time, we all see that name, then we all know. Okay? And at that time, you see, wow, look at that name. That is indeed a very good name. You know what I mean? Okay? All right? And that name is so powerful, I can show it to you. If you turn to the Old Testament, the second last book, the last book is Malachi, the second last book is Zechariah, right before Matthew, and then Malachi, and then Zechariah. The prophet Zechariah prophesies like that. The last chapter, chapter 14 of Zechariah, verse 19. Do me a favor, you write it down. Zechariah 14:9. Zechariah chapter 14 verse 9 equal to Revelation 19:12. Isn't it 12? Is it 12? Equal to Ephesians 1:21. Did you find Zechariah? Jerry, do you find Zechariah? Zechariah 14:9. The Lord will be king over the whole earth. On that day, there will be one Lord. And his name, the only name. Nobody has that name. His name is so unique. If you want to write a letter to Jesus Christ at that time, you don't have to write the address. Whatever the name he has at that time, you say, to this name. Then the letter will be sent to him. And today, I checked the email, I found out someone, I believe somewhere in Canada, there's a person called Amy Lam, because in the email we received from the bank saying that, oh, the $200 that you send by email, e-transfer, has been received. And I called the bank. First of all, we never used the e-transfer for $200 Canadian dollar. And why are you sending us the email like this? I thought that email is forgery. And I called the bank say, they make a mistake. The customer typed the wrong email address. So the letter was sent to us. You understand? But in those days, there's no such thing. Because the name of Jesus, and on that day, there will be one Lord, and his name, the only name. His name is the only name. No other person has that name. Do you know a lot of people called Christopher? Do you know that? Do you have any classmate called Christopher? In soccer? There's another Christopher Wong? Christopher what? Is Caucasian? Is it Caucasian? Is it white people? You want to know whether some other people has your name? It's very easy. You just open up the email address using that name. People say, no, you can't use that name. That name has been used. You know what I mean? When Jesus Christ comes back the second time, on that day, there will be one Lord and his name, the only name. His name is so unique that no one else has ever used it. No one dare to use it either. Okay? Because when we call on that name, that means we call on our Lord Jesus Christ. Does it make sense? In Revelation 19, verse 12, he has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He has a name that no one knows but he himself. He has a name no one uses but he himself. No one knows and no one uses it but he himself. Okay? No one knows, No one uses it. Okay? His name is the only name. So you don't have to write the address. It's in Jerusalem. Okay? Somewhere in Jerusalem. So you write a letter to Jesus Christ at that time, in the second coming, you just say whatever the name, right? And that letter will be sent to you. Okay, now go back. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 21. That name, that power, that authority, that dominion, that kingdom, that title is the name that Jesus has at that time is far above all rule and authority. Far above all power and dominion. Far above every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. Verse 22. And then, you know what? It is difficult. It is difficult to give a name to your children. You know what? It's difficult. So I encourage you, Wesley, in the future when you get married, if you have children, don't just grab a name from your friend and give it to your son. You got to think it through. Read through the Bible in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Whoever the person you like, you think is greatly used by God. Lord, in those days, how are you going to use David? Use my son. Call him David. You know what I mean? Don't just ask your friend, what kind of name can you give it to me? What happens if your friend give you a girly name then? You get a girly name. You wanted to have a girly name? No? So, who gave you this name? Daniel. Your daddy? Your mommy? Your mom? Mm-hmm. Did you know that it's God's judgment? You ask her? Sometimes, you know, we give the name, we don't even know why, you know? Okay, let's go back. Verse 22, and God placed all things under his feet. What else God has done? God using his mighty strength. And he exerted this mighty strength in Christ. When he raised him from the dead, he exerted that mighty strength in Christ. When he seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realm, he exerted the mighty strength in Christ. When he gave Jesus' name above all names, can you imagine that? Listen to me very carefully. In the future, if you do have children, make sure you pray to God before you finalize what kind of name you're going to use. Okay? It is very, very important. I named my daughter at that time, the second daughter, the Chinese name is called Geng Fong, fear the Lord. And that's exactly what the Lord wants me to do. He wants me to fear him. Okay? Joy's name in Chinese, called Yi Fong. God wants us to what? Lean on him. Trust in him. Okay? And I name her the middle name, Joyce. Naomi. Naomi means sweet to us. Like honey, right? Is it sweet? Naomi. Okay, go back. When God gave the name to Jesus, that name is far above all name. If he just gave you that name without giving you the power, what's the use of having that name? Someone called you king, someone called you emperor, but you have no soldier, you have no army. You know what I mean? You have no power. So in other words, when God exerts his mighty strength in Jesus Christ by raising him from the dead, by seating him at his right hand, by giving him a mighty name, at the same time give him the mighty power. So that name and that power, they match one another. You understand what I mean? So whatever the name that you have, make sure you live up to that name. So what does it mean to you, Daniel? What does it mean by live up to that name? So you should live a life that fear the judgment of God. That means when your mommy is not around, daddy is not around, you're not going to fooling around, right? At home, you're going to study, right? Right? Am I right? What happens if your daddy, mommy is not around, then you're fooling around? Is your name is Daniel? Then your name is not Daniel then. Right? Daniel is the judgment of God. How did God judge us? God going to judge us according to what we have done. Am I right? So he's a righteous God, right? So when your parents not around, when they're working, when you yourself at home, what are you going to do? You remember that my name is Daniel. God judgment. Then you better behave, right? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Make sure you live up to your name. Then your daddy, mommy is happy. All right? Okay, keep going. Verse 22. And God placed all things under his feet. In Psalm 110, verse 1, the Lord, the Heavenly Father, said to my Lord, said to his Son. The Father said to his Son, sit at my right hand until I make your enemy your footstool. In those days, God placed all his enemy under the feet of Jesus Christ. Now, God not only placed all his enemy, he placed all things. All things means whether good or bad. Everyone, including Christopher and myself, young and old, male and female, God placed everyone. All things, including animal, star, moon, sun, everything that is visible and non-visible. Okay? Non-visible means invisible. Everything is visible and invisible. Everything that God created, he placed under the feet of Jesus Christ. And God appointed Jesus Christ to be head. To be head over everything for the church. What's the reason why God placed all things under his feet? What's the reason why God appointed Jesus Christ to be head over everything? Is for the church. One reason is for the church. When the church, when brother and sister are in deep trouble, then we can lean on Jesus because everything is under Jesus' feet. So that's why. Especially when I cast the demon out, cast the sickness out, by using the name of Jesus Christ. Because everything under his feet. And God appointed him over everything. Appointed him to be head over everything. Okay? When you are in trouble, We can cry out to Jesus Christ and ask Jesus Christ for help. So that's why do not use the name Jesus Christ in vain. Have you ever heard people swearing using Jesus' name? We as Christians, we don't do that. If you do it, later on, when you are in trouble, you cry out to Jesus, he won't hear you. Can you imagine, you know, using your daddy name and you're upset, homing, homing, homing. And your daddy gonna ask you, why are you calling my name? You understand what I mean, Jennifer? When your friend, especially your close friend, your classmate, I know a lot of Christians, I know a lot of non-Christians. They don't know. They use God's name in vain. If they are your dear friend, you take him aside, explain to him. In the third commandment of the Ten Commandments, we do not use God's name in vain. And he will judge you. Don't ever do that. Because when I'm in trouble, I call on that name and he answered me. He helped me. So you, sometime, someday, you needed him. So if you use it in vain, he won't deliver you. Could you please turn to Exodus, the second book of Old Testament? The second book of Old Testament, Exodus chapter 20. That's the third commandment of the 10th one. Chapter 20, verse 7. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Why? For the Lord will not hold anyone, no exception, the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. You see that? Okay? Especially when we are in trouble, we cry out to God and ask God to help us. When you are sick, you can cry out to God and ask God to heal you. When you are in trouble, you can ask God to deliver you. You know, tonight, I pray that you, each and every one of you, when you get home, tonight you ask the Lord to give you a good rest, tomorrow so that you can write a good exam, okay? Ask the Lord to give you the spirit of wisdom and spirit of understanding, spirit of revelation, spirit of strength, so that you can do a good job for that. But doesn't mean that you don't study. On top of that, on top of studying hard, and then you ask the Lord to help you. Verse 22, and God placed all things under his feet and appointed Jesus Christ to be head over everything. Why would he do that? For the church, for his own people. That means if Jesus Christ is powerful, everything under his feet, if he is head over everything, if he is powerful, then the church will get benefit. You and I, as God's people, will get benefit. You and I, as God's children, will get benefit. Can you imagine, you know, if your parents are powerful, 7 feet tall, anyone can bully you? They're scared. Here, this is my daddy. You know what I mean? Did anyone bully you, Daniel? Okay, verse 22. What's the reason why he's so powerful? Why all things under his feet? Why God appointed him to be head over everything? What's the reason, Daniel? For what reason? You circle the word for the church. Verse 22. He did it for the church. For us. So that we can gather together. We can gather together and cry on his name. Circle the word for the church, and then you write down Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, verse 19 to 20. You write down for the church, circle the word for the church, and you write down Matthew 18, 19 to 20. Again, I tell you, if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. So that's why God placed all things under his feet. And God appointed Jesus Christ to be head over everything. Why would he do that? He do it for the sake of the church. Because he need to protect the church. When the church gathered together, when God's people gather together, when they're in deep trouble, when they gather together, Jesus said, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. And I noticed that in the book of Acts, when a church is persecuted by the Gentile, by the foreigner, by the Jewish people, and they want to kill Peter, they want to kill the apostle, and then all the other saints gather together and pray, cry out to God, and ask God for deliverance, and God answer. Remember that. It is because of chapter 1 of verse 22, because God placed all things under Jesus' feet, because God appointed him to be head over everything for the church. You know what? That's why I encourage you, when you believe in Jesus Christ, you go to the church to worship, listen to him, so that you know you are under protection. Okay? Christopher, why would God give so much power to Jesus? For what reason? Daniel? I say that again, Christopher. Why would God give so much power to Jesus? Why would God place all things under his feet, upon him to be head over everything? Why would he do that? For his own glory? So that he misuse his power? Why would he do that? Jennifer? Why would God give so much power to Jesus Christ? What does it mean by for the church? For the church mean, is it for you? Are you the church? Are you? What is the church? Verse 23. His body. But we are member of his body. Verse 23. The church is Jesus' body. The church is Jesus' body. The reason why God gives so much power to Jesus is for the protection of the church. For the protection of the church. David, could you tell me why would God give so much power to Jesus Christ? Who is the church? Jesus' body. And what about us? We are what? We are member. Okay? The body of Christ. The church is the body of Christ. We, Christian, are member of the body. That body is the body of Christ. Now listen to me carefully. God gave him so much power. It's for who? For the church. Not just for you. For Daniel also. For Jennifer also. For Sally also. For the church. We together are the church, right? When she needs help, we as a church, should we pray for Sally? Should we help Sally? And I know that God placed all things under Jesus' feet and appointed Jesus Christ to be head over everything is for one reason, for the church, for the provisions of his body, for the protection of his body, okay? For the caring of his body, for the helping of his body, for the feeding of his body, right? For looking after and watching over the body, just like how the parents looking after the children, our Lord Jesus Christ looking after his church. When we claim ourselves to be a Christian, should we go to the church to worship? Because he gives so much power, it's for the church. What happened? If you are not in the church, then what happened? Are you under the protection? How can we become a church? Did anybody know? The church is not just a building, physical building. We together are the church. You understand? We together are the body. Body of Christ. Maybe you are the hand, right? We are all member. So that's why we got to serve God together. You got that? So should we be lazy or should we be hardworking? Let me give you illustration, okay? If I give you food to eat, solid food, and you become angry, assuming that you are the teeth, and you refuse to choose the food and just swallow it. So what happened? The stomach say, thank you very much. Now I feel very painful in my stomach, and I can't sleep all night. What happened if you can't sleep all night? Next day, what happened to your teeth? Okay, see? I'm not serving. I'm not chewing the food. I just swallow it. Then the whole body suffers. Right? So we as member of the church, we should serve the Lord together. Do you understand? If one member refuses to serve the Lord, the entire body suffers. If the stomach feels sick, I don't think you can sleep with a sick stomach. Right? You'll be so painful. So what happens if you eat too much food? Donald? You can't sleep also. Right? And your whole body say, thank you very much, Donald. Now you eat too much. Right? So we got to help one another as the member of the same body. If one member suffer, the rest of the members suffer. You got that? So we need to help one another. God gives so much power to Jesus Christ for one reason. For what? For the body of Christ. For the church. For you and for me. Not just for you. Not just for me. For us. You understand? Not just for us. Also for those who are going to believe and they're going to join us. Does that make sense? And then verse 23, the Bible says, the church is his body. The church is the body of Christ. And then, what did the Lord say? The fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Who fill the body? The fullness of Him, the fullness of Him who filled everything in every way. Who is Him? God. Who else? God filled Him. God filled the body with what? With the Holy Spirit. Okay, you write that down. Circle the word fill everything in every way. You write down chapter 2, verse 22. And in Him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. God lives in the church. God lives in the body of Christ. How did God live in the body of Christ? By His Spirit, by the Holy Spirit. How did God fill everything in every way? God filled everything in every way by the Holy Spirit. You don't see it with the physical body. Oh, I see God filling that. No, you don't see that. But I know, because that's what God said in chapter 1, verse 23. And what does it mean? By the body of Christ. And Paul described the body of Christ is the fullness of Him. Can anyone explain to me what does it mean by the body of Christ, the fullness of Him? I give you the exercise next week. Could you give me the answer? What does it mean by the body of Jesus Christ is the fullness of God? What does it mean? Do you know the answer, Daniel? What do you mean by that? I say, what's the meaning of, in verse 23, the church is His body, the fullness of Him, the fullness of Him is His body. The body of Christ is the fullness of Him. What does it mean? Think about that. Donald, do you know the answer? Think about that. What does it mean by the body of Christ, the fullness of Him? Well, if you understand this, then the Gospel of John. Think about that, right? Try. What do we have now? We as Christians, we have Holy Spirit, right? And also Paul, how did Paul pray for us? I pray that, I keep asking that. Asking what? The God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. Now you pray to God. God, give me the answer, because Pastor John asked me the question. Could you tell me what's the answer? See whether the Lord answer you people. Try that. Is it fair? I write down the question, okay? What's the question? His body is the fullness of Him. What does it mean? The body of Christ is the fullness of God. What does it mean? Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, I pray that You speak to each and every one of us. Help us to understand the mystery. As Paul later on explained to us, You have not revealed the mystery to other men in other generation. But now You reveal it to us. And I pray that You also reveal to Your children, so that they not only be the hearer of Your word, they help them to understand. I pray all this in the name of Lord Jesus. Amen.